This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From the 1st of October, the federal government's expanded home guarantee scheme lets first home buyers purchase a property with just a 5% deposit, no income cap, no limits on places. And it's designed to make home ownership easier. But when the cost of building keeps rising and housing supply isn't keeping up, will it actually make a difference? Well, we're joined by Associate Professor Duncan Maxwell from Monash and Director of the Future Building Initiative. Duncan, welcome to Drive.
Hi, Warren. Nice to be with you.
How would you describe the current state of the building industry in meeting housing needs right now?
I would say that it's doing the best it can. But I think if we look at the structural composition of the industry, there are some clear challenges that exist. We're looking at an industry that is fairly traditional in its composition. It's really unchanged over the last few decades. There's some exciting possibilities that exist when we look into the future.
What's in terms of this scheme itself, what's actually changed in terms of how it attacks the supply problem of housing?
Well, I think there's very little in this announcement that is supply-side focused. The announcement last week really was another effort to prop up factors around demand and increase access to housing that way. In terms of the policy itself, there's very little focused on supply. The government is doing other initiatives, other announcements focused on supply. But I think to my mind, there hasn't been anything very substantial really around construction or the built environment. And I think that it's a really key issue that we should be exploring as a nation, looking at the National Housing Accord that was put together a few years ago, commitment to build 1.2 million homes by 2029. And by current projections, we'll probably meet about half that commitment.
Is one of the main problems, is it labour that is in short supply, or is it more the cost of materials? What's the biggest problem?
Well, Warren, I think there's no easy single answer to that question. I think there are challenges around labour coming out of COVID. We've seen changes to patterns of migration. We've seen challenges around apprenticeships, new people entering the workforce. But we've also seen material constraints, again, that were exacerbated through COVID. But really global supply chain challenges over the last few years. Global conflict has been another issue. As crazy as that may sound, when we look at materials moving around the world, those types of factors and even issues of climate change really challenge the industry. So there's labour, there's material challenges, and I think there are also regulatory and policy-based challenges bringing into focus a number of issues in the industry. So that when we look at the cost of building, it's very challenging. And that also points to perhaps some of the difficulties that governments face looking at a major industry. The construction industry contributes about 15% of Australia's GDP, employs over 1 million Australians. It's a big piece of the puzzle. But unfortunately, there's no magic acupuncture that we can just point a needle and go, yep, it's labour, or it is material, or it's some other factor that underpins the industry. Really, it's multifaceted in terms of the challenge that exists. But that's where I'm confident. There are possibilities, there are solutions, new business models, new technologies, new ways of working that may be able to contribute towards, if not reducing the cost of construction, at least stabilizing that cost, and in the long run, bringing down the cost relative to income and relatively speaking, increasing accessibility.
Duncan, when you drive around Melbourne, I know there's pockets or suburbs that you can tell were once public housing, and it's almost like a cookie-cutter approach has been applied to developing or to building houses. They all look exactly the same. I'm imagining that approach would be a lot faster in terms of being able to build it. I'm not a construction engineer, I don't know. But could we, I suppose, modify our building processes, or could we build in factories, for example, drop them off on sites, you know, would that be quicker? Would that be more efficient? And would that help ease the problem?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think what you raise is one of the big quandaries. Through the 20th century, there are a number of efforts to what we term industrialize the construction process. And you've identified, public housing towers from the mid-20th century that look, somewhat standardized. We have houses, as you say, that look like they're built from a sort of cookie cutter method. And of course, standardization does increase efficiency. However, there is social, cultural factors, expectations that we have on the built environment. And that points towards some of the problems of the past and some of the failures of those initiatives, and why we have this sort of stop-start effort to change construction. Now, you mentioned building in factories. Yes, I think that smarter ways of building may not be building the whole building in the factory, but building parts of buildings off-site and bringing them together. That does lead to quicker building solutions, but the cost can be challenging. There are different dynamics. It's not as simple as just taking one process, putting it in the factory, and then hoping for the best. We need to change other parts of the industry. So again, there's a little bit of nuance, but I think certainly it changes the speed of delivery, increases certainty, can overcome challenges around weather, and also challenges around labor, so giving a stable work environment to trades. We've seen that out of Europe, increasing diversity in the workforce, the use of lifting equipment, meaning that workers can choose to work longer in their professions without being retired because of OH&S needs. So building offsite, I think, is part of the solution, but I think it needs to be applied with more nuance than what we saw in the 50s and 60s. And I think there's some really interesting lessons we can learn from successful examples overseas. And we are seeing some of that be explored domestically, companies building offsite to deliver homes with that increased certainty of timeline and quicker delivery. But I think it needs to be done in a way that's fit for purpose in the 21st century and isn't just having another go at what was done in the past.
Do you think we need to change our attitudes towards what we expect in terms of a home? Do we embrace high density living less than perhaps we should?
I think in some ways expectations of home are always sort of fluid and always changing. I think I came to Australia 20 years ago from Scotland. I noticed a difference in the Australian way of life when I moved here. And over the 20 years I've been in Australia, there has been more acceptance, I would say, of apartment living. Now there's no worries about having a family and living in an apartment, whereas perhaps 20 years ago that was frowned upon. So I feel that social expectations move and adapt. But similarly, I also think expectations of building processes can change, and that's where we're seeing some really interesting development models emerge around Melbourne, thinking of build to rent. So different types of rental experience or home ownership experience as well. So not just of the product, but of the process of buying I think different models to enable people to get on the housing ladder or to rent with more stability that come back then into inform the construction method and the possibilities in that regard.
What would you like to see governments do to help the construction industry innovate and scale up?
I think there's a range of things that can be done. Up in New South Wales, we've seen the government there commit to a modernising construction program, modern methods construction program of work. And that really is underpinned by the public social housing initiative, increasing the number of public and social housing to be delivered in that state. And I think that really that's probably the most direct intervention that governments can make is to get back building public housing, good quality public housing that is responsive to 21st century needs, responsive to users, but would create a kind of pipeline. But in a sense, in doing that, I think there needs to be an open pipeline, so enabling industry participants to integrate with that pipeline. But also I think there's stuff that can be done around skills, training. So really creating apprenticeships that are different to what has been traditionally offered and really is a way of rejuvenating the construction industry more broadly. And then, yeah, I think there's a key piece of the puzzle, which really is about innovation. And of course, I'm slightly biased as a researcher. I'll say innovation is always necessary. Yeah. But the construction industry has been slow to change. So how do we prompt and provoke that change? Well, pursuing research or R&D is one method to do that. And I think government plays a key role in supporting industry to explore new methods of building. And so there's a few options there that I think could be pursued.
So it sounds like we need more than just a home guarantee scheme, something to address that supply side of things.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, we just have to have a balanced approach. There's a lot that has been done in this topic around demand. But I think, we should be really looking into the supply side critically. You know, construction's productivity has been lagging for some time. And we should turn it around with confidence in the 21st century.
Duncan, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Good to talk.
Thank you, Duncan Maxwell from Monash University and Director of the Future Building Initiative.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.